141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic's 19-month, 69-game unbeaten run comes to an end with an emphatic 4-0 win for Hearts at Tynecastle. It's not been a good weekend at Ibrox either, with St Johnstone's 3-1 win meaning Rangers have now dropped 16 points at home already. And Aberdeen are the real winners out of all this as they take hold of second spot after a convincing victory against Hibs. Yes, it's been quite the weekend with no shortage of drama. Only fitting then that I found the two biggest drama queens we could find, Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson. How are we both?
What a weekend. Yeah. Let's do it by the numbers. Number one, respect to Celtic. 69 games in a row undefeated on a domestic basis. In my opinion, it will never be done again. Number two, respect to the Celtic fans. At Tynecastle, they stayed, they sang, and that was after watching the worst domestic display since Brendan Rodgers became Celtic manager. Number three, Celtic are not running away with the league. Celtic versus Aberdeen on Saturday promises to be a classic match. And four, Rangers at the weekend, howling.
And number five, well done Hearts. I mean, if you were to say to me that Hearts are going to be the team that's going to stop Celtic, you're like, come on. You're having a laugh here. But, you know, having watched the game, well done to Hearts as well. Okay, there were a couple of youngsters playing, but they were really, really up for it. And as much as Hearts were really up for it, Celtic were as flat as a pancake. I think it is the worst, you know, that they've played in these 70 games. Possibly one player get pass marks on the borderline, as Gordon suggested to me earlier, James Forrest. The rest of them did absolutely nothing.
Do you know
nothing.
What it was for Hearts to win 4-0?
It must be 200 to 1 or something.
400 to 1.
There we have it. So lots to get through tonight. You know the number by now, 01419511025. And of course we're on Twitter at ClydeSSB. If we start with the game yesterday, Celtic fans, I suppose it's two simple questions. What have you made of that run? And now that it's over, what did you make of the way that it came to an end? Join us on the phones or on Twitter.
And will Brendan Rodgers resign?
Don't even joke about it.
I think that's just Derek Johnson's Christmas list he's airing on Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Clearly not a man who deals in social media. He does not know how the Twitterati respond to things like that.
Anyway, let's hear from him, shall we? Because Brendan Rodgers says it was inevitable Celtic's unbeaten run would come to an end at some point, but it was the manner of the defeat which of course surprised some people yesterday. Hearts stopping it with a 4-0 win at Tynecastle. The Celtic boss says they weren't good enough, but he doesn't want their achievements to be forgotten.
Firstly, congratulations to Hearts. I think that they were the better team today. We failed to cope with their style, in particular the first half. You know, we didn't defend well enough and made too many mistakes. But congratulations to them. They win the game and deserve to win the game. And my feeling, again, really is of pride, really, for the players. You know, that's the run come to an end of 69 games. You know, a real historical achievement. So I thank them for that at the end. Of course, in the game itself, we made too many mistakes to get anything out of it. We put risk into the second half, you know, and we started okay. You know, we're 2-0 down, have conceded poor goals, and then we go all out to try and get something in the second half. We start brightly, but then we give away another poor goal, really, in that. Just too many mistakes today cost us. And like I say, it's the first domestic game, I believe, that we haven't scored in. So we probably could have played five games today and not scored. So for me, that was the story of it, really. It was always going to happen. I said over... You know, many months since I've been here, if the players weren't human then, I would say we would never lose. It was always going to happen. It's never nice when it does. And I wanted to just pull the players together and just let them be aware that, listen, they were better than us today and we have to accept that. But what they've done is absolutely amazing. And then use this feeling that they haven't felt for 18 months. Use it as a lever, really, moving forward. And let's learn from it and let's be better for it. You know, we're a bigger target now because of what we've done. So we have to accept that and now go and look to win our next game.
He was very, very clever, Brendan Rodgers, and very gracious, to be fair to him. You know, congratulated Hearts, you know, which is the right thing to do. But what he did on the pitch when he had the little huddle with the players, he could have done that in the dressing room. This was him saying to the fans, because none of the fans had moved. They were still there, clapping their team. And that was him getting them all together. And what you heard them say there is what he said to these players right after the game. He wanted to tell them first, nobody's going to beat this. You'll never be forgotten. This will never be beaten and everything else. You know, we've done really well. It's only one game. We start again in midweek. Everything he said there, he said there in the huddle, and the Celtic fans loved that. So it was all a wee bit for show there, but it's a right thing to do after you've just been beaten.
Plan A fail when Hearts made it 2-0. Plan B, which was to bring on Armstrong and Dembele, never got off the ground because of Simonovic. Plan C, when all was apparently lost, bring on Eduard to join Dembele and Griffiths. It meant that Celtic finished the game really without any kind of formal shape to them. And so Hearts won convincingly. And that's why I think Marvin Kompea from Leipzig is in Glasgow tonight having his medical for Celtic at the back. They are desperately shocked, and Boyata and Simonovic will not do.
And the start that I can't believe yet, and it was only somebody who said to me this morning, it's the first game in 70 that they haven't scored.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers mentioned that they've scored in every game so far. So where does that leave us then? Celtic 2 points ahead of Aberdeen at the top of the Premiership. They do have a game in hand, remember. Rodgers said, though, they never expected to run away with the league.
Last year, I always said, we're not defending a title. We have to win it. And we won it last year. And we'll look to go on and win it this year. You know, we have a game in hand at the weekend or during the week. We get a victory there, it puts us 5 points. We still play some of our rivals. And knowing that we'll be better in the second part of the season. So it's one where I've always felt that's the case, and nothing changes with that. Again, the mantra is the same, win your next game. However you do, win, lose or draw, win your next game. Like I say, it's a tough one. It was always going to come. And when it does, you have to be ready for it mentally. You know, now you focus. You really got to focus in. You know, these last numbers of games now, through to the end of the year, going to be important for us. And then, like I say, we'll recover and go again then in the second part. But it's important we finish now strong, and that's what we'll look to do after this defeat.
Celtic Match warns on Twitter. He says the 69 games undefeated was magic. The performance yesterday, obviously poor. Everything went for Hearts, and Celtic could have played until Christmas Day and not scored. Hearts, the hungrier team on the day. Paul, delving a bit deeper, he says Boyata has been a time bomb for months. Yesterday it went off. Give Ayer a chance in that position, and yesterday should be Gordon's last game. Play De Vries until January and then get a bid in for Vorm at Spurs. So Paul's got it all figured out on Twitter. What about on the phones? And Nicky is in Elderslie. Hi, Nicky.
How you doing, Gordon? Hi, Derek. How's you?
Hello, Nicky.
I agree with that gentleman with regards to Craig Gordon. He's been a nightmare. He's a great shot stopper, but the goals we have lost this season, he's partly to blame in most of them. I thought yesterday, Lafferty, he could have got that one, Jim, but he scored 20 yards outside the box. It's for him to score on penalty. He didn't need to go down. But I'm just wondering if the panel... I think it's time for a reshuffle of the defence. Boyata, Smonovic have been a nightmare. I think you should bring in the young boy Adair. And then, but does you know or anything that with regards to when Wilson's coming back? And what's the problem with Gamboa and the other boy, their defender, Shevchenko?
Shevchenko, he certainly looks like he's on borrowed time.
Yeah, he just seems to have been binned. You know,
he was injured, to be fair, initially. But
he's fit now, and he's just not chosen by Brendan Rodgers. Nicky uses the word reshuffle. It's time for redundancy, not reshuffling. It's time for Boyata and Simonovic to be taken out of the equation.
Is this based on one game, or is this a bigger picture?
I know that supporters will say, 69 wins out of 70 games, you know, but I'm afraid it's glaringly obvious that neither is up to the task. You know, I'm thinking about European results and performances as well. I mean, you have to factor these things in. Celtic have lost 13 points this season. They only lost 8 in the whole of last season. Boyata and Simonovic on a consistent basis are found wanting. Michael Lustig has now been found wanting on a fairly consistent basis. The goalkeeper I think perhaps Doris De Vries is due a chance against Partick Thistle on Wednesday. But Brendan Rodgers won't want to be seen to be pressing any alarm bells here. Yeah. So, you know, you might find that they're all intact against Partick Thistle on Wednesday night. But Marvin Kompea from Leipzig is in Glasgow tonight for one reason and one reason only, that Brendan Rodgers can see for himself that in central defence, all is not well.
Yeah, Joseph's on Twitter as well, though. Joseph Duffy says, we can't go on about defenders, etc., being poor. The whole team, including the subs, were poor. One of those games, not a player got pass marked. But Derek, I think it's fairly understandable why the backline and the goalkeeper are getting a lot of the unwanted attention yesterday. I mean, particularly Kyle Lafferty's goal, you can see it. You know, Jozo Simunovic just decides to run across and try and leaves Lafferty altogether.
He's dragged towards the ball. You know, an experienced player doesn't do that because there's already a player there that's going to go for him. All he's got to do is find out where the main striker is. And the main striker was 10, 15 yards away from him. And as soon as he got the ball, and Lafferty knows he's not the greatest or the quickest player in the world, and he's hit it from a fair distance, to be fair. And I mean, I wouldn't blame the goalkeeper for that. I mean, it's right in the corner, it's gone in off the post, so he couldn't have placed it any better than what he did. And it wasn't the hardest shot in the world, I accept that. But defence, you've got to look what's in front of him as well. You have to defend from the front. That's what managers will say to you. As soon as the opposition get it, close them down, whoever you're playing up front. Midfielders have got to go with the runners. They didn't play. The last people are the defenders, and they're the ones that basically get the blame for goals. But the midfield have got to play their part as well.
And talk about defending from the front, that's exactly, I suppose, what Hearts did, Hugh Keevans. Yeah. They pressed and pressed, and Craig Levein revealing afterwards that he actually took inspiration from the way Anderlecht played against Celtic.
Yeah, we based our game plan on the Anderlecht game. Yeah. High pressing and being brave at the back and going man for man at times. It's a difficult thing to do because if they cut you open, you could be 3-0 down before you bat an eyelid. But the recovery runs from the players once they'd gone to press and it didn't work were the things that made all the difference today.
And on the penalty one, Hugh Keevans, do you join the common consensus that it was a challenge Craig Gordon just simply did not have to make?
Yeah, of course. He gave the referee an easy call there. And Craig Gordon is going through a hard time of it. I have a great deal of respect for Craig Gordon as a goalkeeper. I think he's been a terrific signing for Celtic. If you consider all that he has done in the time he's been at Celtic Park, I would stand by him and say he's a terrific goalkeeper. But he is going through a spell now. At best, it could be called indifferent.
Nicky, you want to come back in?
Yeah, guys. First of all, again, I forgot to say well done to Hearts for the way they played. They were well up for it. But also well done to Celtic. 6-9 games. Great record. And as you say, it won't be beaten again. But Gordon's been all hot and cold all season, and shoes spot on. We've got Aberdeen, we've got away to Dundee and Rangers coming up. Put De Vries in against Thistle, no disrespect to Thistle, but make the changes on Wednesday night and give the young boys a go. And I'm hoping the boy Ralston's back soon. I don't know what the score is with Gamboa, but I dare put the boy in the back. But definitely make the changes because Aberdeen is... it's going to be a great game.
I think Nicky, the one thing we have to bear in mind though is that Brendan Rodgers will not give out any visible signs of concern. No. And therefore, that's why I think Craig Gordon will be in goal, and I would not bet against Lustig, Boyata, Simunovic and Tierney being the back four.
You know the way these things work, Hugh Keevans. I know the way the next 2 hours are going to go. A lot of calls are going to be about Celtic's deficiencies on the day, so it can be easy to forget just how well Hearts did and how much they deserved it. I mean, where do you start? Harry Cochrane, 16 years old. We've been mentioning him a lot this season. One of the Scottish FA's performance school graduates, scores the first goal, plays ever so well. This was a Hearts team that was under strength, and they managed to perform like that.
I don't think the Celtic and Rangers supporters want to hear this. However, the weekend was very good because Hearts did bring in Anthony McDonald and Harry Cochrane, and they have had the most remarkable result of the season so far. St Johnstone, under strength without their two best players, have gone to Ibrox and wiped the floor with Rangers. Aberdeen have played superbly well. No one is running away with anything at the moment. Therefore, it's all good for the game.
Stuart is in Cambus Lang. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, guys. I just want to go over everything really people's been saying. Congratulations to Hearts and for Celtic for 6-9 games. Tremendous. But Hearts were up for the game yesterday. They were in their faces, right for the word go. And Craig Levein's a very clever manager. He knew how bad we were at the back, and he had a right go, Celtic. We knew for the Astana game. I was in the cupboard for the last 20 minutes watching that game. We knew for the Astana game how bad we were at the back. I mean, we were defending like schoolboys, you know. And we knew, but he's supposed to do something. I hope he signs this boy tonight. I think Celtic have looked a bit kind of flat in the last couple of games. Whether it's complacency, I can't go manager saying that players are tired. It really annoys me. These guys are on 25, 30 grand a week. Try to get up at 5 in the morning and go to a 12-hour shift. And then they'll be tired. See, if you keep telling a player they're tired, they'll start to feel tired.
It's an easy excuse for players to say that. You're absolutely right.
To be fair, I don't think, I've not heard anyone in the Celtic camp blaming tiredness on this occasion.
But that happens. Anytime you hear somebody saying that, players love to hear that because that's the first excuse that you don't play well.
I mean, if we keep it specific onto what's happened at the moment, Hugh, I suppose this is all about perspective. It depends the way people look at things. You know, Stuart said, you know, everyone's known for a long time that, you know, we're not good enough at the back.
Yeah.
And I can hear some people saying, well, you don't go 69 games domestically undefeated if you're not good enough at the back. So as always, the truth is probably somewhere in
between.
In the middle.
Yeah, but you'll never convince me that Boyata and Simonovic are what Celtic require in central defence. And if the majority of the Celtic supporters are honest with themselves, they know that. And they know the goalkeeper has become suspect, particularly when it comes to his distribution. And we have to look at the overall picture here. No one is running away with any league. And Celtic play Aberdeen on Saturday, and it's good for the game. This is going to be terrific. 60,000 at Celtic Park. Aberdeen under Derek McInnes have never laid a glove on Celtic. Celtic's defining performance of the season was at Pittodrie midweek, when they won 3-0 there. It was without question Celtic's best performance of the season so far. However, a lot has changed since then, and I look forward to Saturday. And I'm not dismissing the Celtic Partick Thistle game. What will be in that match. But Celtic have deficiencies. Brendan Rodgers is taking steps to answer those deficiencies or address those deficiencies. And the overall picture is that Celtic have still got work to do in the league. Good for the league.
But remember what Brendan said on Friday. He said, you know, we actually can't wait until the end of the year till we get a break to get the players back sharp and fresh again. He knows that there are some of them may be running on empty at this moment in time. That's why he's going to have a break. And are they going away in the hot weather again, Celtic?
They're going to Dubai.
They're going to Dubai. Well, that's what he's looking for, to get them there, get them refreshed again and come back, you know, willing to play that second half.
Every time you say Dubai, they improve a little.
Lots more calls coming on that game yesterday. It's 01419511025 if you want to get involved. And we're going to hear from Rangers interim boss Graham Murty after a disappointing weekend. That's after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Lots of tweets coming in about Celtic's unbeaten run being ended yesterday. Stephen says, proud to have witnessed history, with the highlight being Rodgers' winner in the cup final, but yesterday was a shambles all over the park, several players regressing back to the Ronnie Dyla days. Brendan now needs to build his own team over the next two windows. Let's hear from Graham Murty though, shall we? Derek, we obviously looked at this game in a bit of detail on Saturday, but now you've had the chance to see it back and digest it all. How do you view that Rangers defeat to St Johnstone at the weekend?
Shambolic. That's, I mean, I look at each of the individual goals and I don't know what Graham's going to say, but all three of them, you know, were stoppable. I think it was poor. As much as we said that only James Forrest may have got pass marks for Celtic yesterday, there were very few that get pass marks for Rangers. And listen, take nothing away from St Johnstone. Well done to them. They were under real pressure, 1-1-6, and they've gone to Ibrox and won it comfortably. I'm told that Rangers only had one shot on target, and that was the goal. You know, that is absolutely poor. For what they have there, for the home team to only have one shot at goal is absolutely ridiculous. There's players in there. This is where you need the strong backroom stuff. You know, Jonathan Johansson is a lovely lad. You know, he knows his stuff, but he's not one of these bawling and shouting type of people. And neither's Graham Murty. I mean, oh, for a Walter Smith and an Archie Knox in that first half, to be in that dressing room with them at half-time on Saturday, he'd have gone through the players like a dose of salts. I think there's too many players there that have got egos. Now, Why? How they've got egos, I don't know, because you have to play first and play at a good standard to have an ego. But I think that's exactly what it is. They think if we have a couple of good games in 7 or 8 games, then that's fine. No, when you're at a club like Rangers, you have to be consistent. And if you're not going to learn that, then you'll be out the door. There's too many of them that looked very, very average on Saturday. And that's taking nothing away from St Johnstone. Look, they thoroughly deserve their win.
Yep, I cannot disagree with what Derek says. In fact, Rangers supporters must be looking at the progress of the championship so far and thinking, if we'd a team at all, they'd be in this, because they've dropped 16 points at Ibrox. They've had 4 defeats at Ibrox and 2 draws. Unbelievable. Any other season, Rangers would have been right in this title race, but I can't bring myself to say that they're in the title race because they're too poor.
Graham Murty says his Rangers players have no excuses for Saturday's defeat to St Johnstone. Remember, it was 4 wins in the bounce going into the game, then a 3-1 defeat at Ibrox. The interim boss says it was well below what he expects from them.
We know when we get the 4 wins, and the players give me a great deal in terms of intensity and play and quality, we need to be able to sustain that. We didn't get to a level of intensity or quality or aggression with or without the ball today. And that's really hard to take considering the level they managed to get to in the last 4.
What have the players had to say in the dressing room?
They've got nothing to say, to be perfectly honest. There's nothing that they can say that is going to mean anything. Actions speak louder than words, and today our actions weren't of a strong enough nature for this football club. No shouting and screaming and ranting and raving. I said to them that the last 4 games I thanked them for, but that every single time you walk out in front of this crowd, every single time you put the shirt on, we need to hit a level of intensity that we didn't get today. And you know, sometimes in the big games, when Aberdeen come here and the atmosphere is fantastic and Aberdeen want to go toe to toe with you, it's easy to get to that level. When you are expected to win, you're expected to put on a performance, it takes a different kind of bravery and a different level of intensity, and possibly it's a little bit of a reality check for myself and for the players as to where we are on this journey, because we needed a different kind of attribute today and we didn't manage to get it.
Colin is in Easter House. Colin, what did you make of it?
Abysmal. Absolutely abysmal, Gordon. How you doing, guys?
Hello.
How you doing,
Derek?
Derek, I think there's more than speculation going on now that Tony Pulis is linked to the Rangers job.
Uh-huh.
Now, see, if honest with you, Derek, see if that's true, I would go and get the guy. So I would just say, right, this week, get it all done and dusted. We know he wants to spend time with his family at Christmas, so that's fine, but on the 27th of December, get up here and turn this team into something that we want to see. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they need somebody permanent, whoever it is. Yeah.
I mean, just to be fair, you talk about speculation, Hugh. This comes from quotes attributed to Tony Pulis today when he was asked about Rangers, and he just talks about the size of the club and what people in England think of him. As far as we're led to believe, it's nothing more than that at the moment. There may well be, but like I say, as far as we're led to believe, that's where this name's coming from. And I think Derek actually raised the point at the weekend here on the show.
I think Tony Pulis is linked to Tony Pulis with Rangers. We'll need to find out if Rangers are interested in Tony Pulis. He also would come at a price. You know, he's had 1,000 games and more as a manager at the highest level, Tony Pulis. He will have a high regard for his own reputation. He will want to be certain that he will get properly paid for the job that he does, and he'll want to make sure that he has money, because if the St Johnstone result proved anything, it is that the Rangers squad is not fit for purpose and will therefore have to be changed. So Tony Pulis will want to know that he can get in other players, having offloaded many.
I think what we're calling is 100% correct. The Rangers have to get somebody in and get somebody in very quickly. I would like to think that by the time the January window comes along, a Rangers manager is going to be in place. And I think the first thing he does is he phones up Mexico and Pedro Caixinha, say, look, do you want any of your players back? Because I don't think they're any use to us. He's going to have to get rid of a few, and he's going to have to bring better players in. And to do that, you need the manager. It's going to be there for 2 or 3 years. I think that's what Rangers will go for. Get somebody in for the 1st, 2nd, 3rd of January and give them a chance to bring somebody in.
He also made that statement, as you will remember, Gordon, where they said that Graham Murty would be in charge of the side until the end of the year. Perhaps, on reflection, they'd have been better not saying that, not stipulating a length of time, because as Colin has said,
I suppose it's only a couple of weeks now though,
well,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but you know, as Colin the caller said, he'd like to see something happening. But yeah, again, if there are any practical steps to be taken, then Rangers must take them and they can let their fans know. But I would underline that Tony Pulis has indirectly linked Tony Pulis with Rangers. Rangers have said nothing.
I mean, I look at it again, and going with Alves, everybody thinks he's a wonderful player, Portugal, you know, so many caps, you know, good experience. I think the first thing you learn when you're a centre-half is if a ball comes into the box, you never head it down the middle of the park. You head it either left or you head it right, wide, out of the road of the box. Uh-huh. You head it in the middle. To be fair, it's Alston's a brilliant hit from him, but you should never have got the chance. You look at the Denny, I mean, before the game started, I says Denny Johnson would give Rangers problems because he's a big lad, he's strong in the air and everything else. When the ball
they got
comes
the warning
in,
early on, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
He challenged
when the ball
him.
Comes in from the left, Danny Wilson's 3 yards in front of him and Declan John is 3 yards behind him, and it's a wonderful ball in, and it's a free header. He's jumped in, headed in the corner. I mean, it's absolutely nonsense. And that's where Graham Murty's tearing his hair out. And that's where players have got to realise you've got to concentrate for 90 minutes, especially when you're at home and there's too many of them. Their minds are on Christmas or whatever it is, but it's certainly not in the game.
And Hugh, that, you know, there are various ways to lose a football match, or to win one, in fact, for that matter. You know, Rangers in the last couple of games before that had been conceding the first goal and then had been getting themselves right back into it. Flip that on its head at the weekend, they score early on and you're expecting, you know, St Johnstone's side, who have not been in good form either, you're thinking this is it, Rangers are going to go on from here, go from strength to strength and win this comfortably, and then somehow after that goal, very little.
Well, you don't know what's going on at Rangers. I mean, the two wins over Aberdeen, you have to give them full credit for that. They dominated, they won 5-1 on aggregate, if you like, but they're also capable of losing to Hamilton Accies, losing to Dundee, losing to St Johnstone, and at Kilmarnock on Saturday, a rejuvenated Kilmarnock under Steve Clarke. So the A team had better turn up because the B team will get beaten.
Colin, how do you feel about the football side of it? I know you talk about you fancy the chances of getting Tony Pulis in. That's the bigger picture. How do you feel as a Rangers fan watching those games against Aberdeen and thinking everything's rosy, and then just a couple of weeks later losing a game in the manner that you did at the weekend?
Trying to learn, Gordon. It's the midfield. We're getting overrun too much. Even in the games we're winning, our midfield is they're not strong enough, and there's no creativity there other than Ree Jason Hope, which has been he's been really good since he came on, since Graham Murty gave him a game. There's nothing there. It's dead static, if you know what I mean.
That's the thing, Derek, because we had a lot of people on the programme last week saying, you know, that Hibs, it was Neil Lennon himself said, Hibs battered Rangers and so on. And the general consensus amongst the Rangers fans, and rightly so, was, listen, it doesn't really matter how we perform because we won the game. Yeah. But now when you look at those two games, you're actually seeing similar performances.
Yeah, and you don't win one and you win the other, and that's the difference. You know, you've got to create chances, and as long as you're scoring more goals in the opposition, then you know the midfield can afford to be slack if you're winning matches. But there are games like Saturday when you're looking for something a wee bit special. You've got four games that you've won. You've a chance to go closer to Celtic because they're playing 24 hours later. I mean, if that doesn't get your juices flowing, knowing we win this, we'll go 2 points behind Celtic. Okay, they've got a game in hand. They're playing on Sunday, but we're up there, we're challenging, and then they just flop. You know, they just don't kick a ball. Nobody kicks a ball. The effort is not there again, and they're beaten by a St Johnstone side whose head's been down. And I said before the game, there are teams coming to Ibrox now who need a lift somewhere. Dundee got it at Dens Park. They needed a lift. They were struggling. You know, Kilmarnock were the same. They came there. They got a point. And there was St Johnstone as well. St Johnstone have arrived, needing to get their juices flowing and get in there, get excited about playing in front of 50,000, get a result, and that's it. And they did it. And they did it very, very comfortably.
Here's what Ryan Jack had to say to it after the game.
I think we can address it up any way that we want, and we can look back at it, but individually and as collectively as a team, we just weren't at the races, and it wasn't good enough. It's frustrating to see that we can play Aberdeen off the park almost two games, double header, and then since then we've just kind of we've got results, but we've not really played well. And today just kind of that just crept in, and the frustration of the players, frustration of the fans, and it just wasn't enjoyable. Just personally, you look at how we play against Aberdeen and the big games, and it's all right when it's it's the big games and you're up for it, and but it's these games that count when you're playing home games against St Johnstone and teams that want to make it difficult for you, and we can't just turn up and expect to turn it on and turn up and just expect to win. It's we just need to all, it's your own personal pride, your own it's you're responsible to get yourself up for the game, and today, as I said, we just weren't at the race.
If you're not up for it, you're a Rangers player playing at Ibrox, what are you doing there? Yeah. That's why the next manager will have to clear the place.
See, there's no Jack this week against Kilmarnock because he serves the third game of his ban.
Yeah.
So he's out, Dorans is out. So you're looking at Bergonis coming back in again. The two youngsters, himself and McCrory, coming back into the side.
Yeah, Jamie's actually been on Twitter. Jamie the Jambo says, how was Ryan Jack allowed to play against St Johnstone? Well, immediately it was the two game suspension. Then the third one is as a result of going through the points threshold, which kicks in 2 weeks after the offence. So he was banned for two games, back for one, and then he'll be banned next week. Hopefully that's
you can well
a satisfactory explanation.
Supporters who say, how does that work? Run that past me again.
Yeah.
You know, it's complicated.
Put it this way. Josh Windass was booked against Hibs at Easter Road. That takes him through the points threshold, so you don't get the ban immediately.
He
gets it 2 weeks later and he misses the Motherwell game as a result of a booking that he picked up against Hibs.
You lost me at hello.
Plenty more time for your calls, but before we do that...
Clyde One's 12Ks of Christmas with Keystore, supporting you evermore this Christmas.
Yes, as you're well aware, and if you're not, then listen up carefully. Clyde One's 12Ks of Christmas is back for 2017. We're giving you the chance to win £12,000. I was finishing off the Christmas shopping today, Hugh Keevans. It would have been made a whole lot easier with £12,000 in my pocket. In fact, you'd be quite crazy to walk around with £12,000 in your pocket, but at least you would have the option. So anyway, for the chance to win £12,000, just text the word yes to 61025 and you could have that 12 grand paid into your bank account when the lines close on December the 22nd. Now, as always, you can only enter and win if you live in Glasgow and the West, so you need to have a G, M, L, F, K, P, A or K, A in your postcode. You must be over 18 to enter. The text costs £2. T's and C's and online entry are at Clyde1.com. That's the 12Ks of Christmas on Clyde One with your local key store.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's been quite the weekend. Lots of drama, lots of interesting results, and lots of you getting in touch on Twitter on the back of it. Thomas is on Twitter. He says, listening to Rogers on the way to the gym. I think he's just trying to get in there, that he's a fitness fanatic, is Thomas. He's just trying to tell everyone that he's working out at this time of year. Anyway, he says he'll make those players notice how the Hearts players and management and fans all celebrated and how it felt to lose into a positive. This will fire them up for another crack at back-to-back trebles. Watch this space.
Mind you can hardly complain about the Hearts fans celebrating or Craig Levein. They've taken pelters for weeks. So if their celebrations were within the bounds of decency, and they were, then good luck to them.
Alec is a Celtic fan in Garthamlock. Hi, Alec.
How are you doing, lads?
Not too bad. What's your point tonight?
First of all, I was reading yesterday about the score. I'm a Celtic man, obviously. And the thing is, we can't even win every game. A defeat was coming. It was hard to get beat 4-0 with Hearts. They were the better team. But individual errors cost us bad. Craig Gordon, before we scored Hearts, he tried to beat players with the ball at his feet. Nearly get taken off him. And then it's a terrible pass to Bayata for the by kick. And Don Kibbe's running right across shaking your books, which isn't allowed today, by the way. To me, I think he's gave another by kick, but that's just me. And then I slipped through Tierney. Good finish for the boy. The second ball, but yeah, again, a flat pass to McGregor, who gets the ball taken off him because of our harassing his Hearts. Good finish for Lafferty. But if you give Lafferty that ball again, he's not scoring. Maybe 1 out of 10. That was a good finish. The third goal's a mistake for Simonovic. And the fourth goal wasn't apparently, it was a dive. The boys, if you watch it again, I know you'll be laughing about this, Hugh, but if you watch it again, Gordon doesn't touch the player. The player kicks Gordon's left elbow.
Listen,
I've watched it 100 times.
Alec.
But the game's, no, wait a minute. The game's already won. I do understand that. But a defeat's been coming for Celtic. The form in Europe's rubbing off in the league. And maybe it's not a bad thing. We can regroup and go again.
The very first thing I said on the programme tonight was respect to the Celtic supporters at Tynecastle for staying, singing, accepting defeat with dignity. You've not given us a very dignified response here, to be honest. Hearts were the better team. Celtic were bang average, not even as high as that the whole day long. So you know,
I think they were the better team.
That's, yeah. So, you know, you're getting into each goal about dives and this and that. You know, Hearts deserve to win the match.
Yeah, well, very much so. The one thing I would agree with, Al, I didn't think it was a penalty. I know you two think it was a penalty. I think, like Alec, I don't think he was really touched. He went down looking to challenge a play, but listen, they're 3-0 down at the time. I didn't think it was a penalty kick at all.
I just didn't see many complaints, Hugh Keevans, whether that's because Celtic were already felt like they were out the game or whatever. I don't know, but even Craig Gordon himself had a look in his face, which just to me, and maybe this is a personal thing, just suggested that he knew he had made a fairly rash decision to dive in.
I think by that time Celtic were shell-shocked. Yeah. Everyone was shell-shocked. As I say, by then Brendan Rodgers has got the man who didn't want to play Griffiths and Dembele in the same team had Griffiths, Dembele and Eduard playing there. So by that time Celtic were ragged all over the place. So the argument about was it a penalty or not is fairly redundant.
Yeah,
and that's one of the things that people will have noticed in the back of this, Hugh. Had this run come to an end on the back of one controversial decision, you know, a 1-0 defeat, a penalty that was controversial, it would have been everywhere for weeks and weeks and weeks. But I think most Celtic fans, the ones we've had on the phone tonight, listen, when you get beat 4-0, you've not really got much choice other than to hold your hands up.
Here's the watershed moment. You know, if it was preying on the minds of the players, you know, 67, 68, 69, then I would understand that. And, you know, I would also understand, even though it was a 4-0 going over, I would also understand if there was subconsciously a bit of relief, right, okay, let's go again. But it happened, and I think it also highlighted in a very graphic fashion the deficiencies at the back. And as I say, we understand that Marvin Comper is in Glasgow having his medical for Celtic today, and he will come in January. And I think Celtic should also get another central defender, because the two they have at the moment are, for me, not up to the task.
And I have to hold my hand up as well, because I was the man 2 months ago, couldn't see anybody stopping Celtic. You know, I thought they were going to go another season without a, you know, without a defeat. But and that was a drubbing yesterday. So some you win, some you lose. Is that right, Hugh?
Yes.
Stevie's a Celtic fan in Bishop Briggs. Hi, Stevie.
Hi, how you doing, lads?
Not too bad, Stevie.
My point's about their race. First of all, I'll say congratulations to Hearts. Craig Levein's obviously looked back at Celtic, 69 games unbeaten. He's looked at that. Probably look back at a good few games and say, well, how can we be the team here to break them? Listen, all good things come to an end, Hugh, as you know. Celtic were beaten fair and square, and Craig Levein, hats off to him. He's done the job. He showed other teams that week Celtic can be beaten if you look at them and basically say, well, let's go with it this way and let's do it this way, and you've got a chance of beating them. But going back to my main point, I think your man De Vries should be given a chance in there, in the goal. I know for a fact that the guy has just signed a new contract. I don't know how long it's for, but he signed a new contract for Celtic.
I think it was a year extension, wasn't it, Hugh?
Yeah. Yeah, well, what does that tell you, then, Hugh? I mean, the man's quite happy to be at Celtic. He must want to get a shot at the number one. I know for a fact, knowing the guy stays no far from my area, and I know meeting the guy now and again, he's quite happy doing what he's doing, but he did tell me he's breathing down Craig Gordon's neck, so give the guy a chance.
Well, you know, you're preaching to the converted here. I've said that I have the greatest respect for Craig Gordon. I think he's been a wonderful signing for Celtic. I wouldn't denigrate what he has achieved at Celtic, but he's going through a very ropey spell, and Doris De Vries deserves a chance. However, I don't pick the team. Brendan Rodgers does, and Brendan Rodgers will not want to give out any visible signs of concern after that Hearts game at the weekend. So my guess is that Craig Gordon will play against Partick Thistle on Wednesday, but I may be wrong.
I think you could be wrong, Hugh. I think you'll freshen it up again. I think you'll look at that and you see there was a lot of heavy legs in that, and there's no way you can go again 4 or 5 days later, especially after a 4-0 defeat. I think you might see the likes of Ayer coming in at centre-back. I think the goalkeeper could easily be changed. I think there could be 3 or 4 changes for Celtic against Partick Thistle. Celtic have the players to do it. It's not as if you're bringing in players that are inferior to the ones that are there.
No.
They've got a good 20-22 man squad that any 11 can do a job for them.
That's going to be an interesting one, Hugh, because a lot of people were disappointed by the back line in particular yesterday. Naturally, as a football fan, that leads you to want change. You want to see something different. You want to see a solution to the problem. Yeah. Does Brendan Rodgers strike you as the type, though, who might just take a step back and say, well, one defeat in 70, we don't need to rip everything up right now?
No, no, of course not. As I say, he will not want to show any visible signs of concern about his team or squad. But there are four matches, Partick Thistle, Aberdeen, Dundee, Rangers, to be negotiated between now and the end of this year. The defence at Tynecastle was abysmal. Mm-hmm. And Celtic need to be aware of that. I'd be very interested to see the team against Partick Thistle.
Yeah.
To see how Brendan Rodgers reacts to that. Because, you know, Scott Brown today has been talking about the dent in confidence that came with a 4-0 defeat. If you were Boyata and Simonovic and Michael Lustig and Craig Gordon, how much sleep would you have got last night? Not a lot.
You know what, we'll get a clue tomorrow when Brendan holds his press conference, you know, because he'll be asked the question, you know, is it time
for what it's worth, legs? It's scheduled to be Chris Davis who speaks to the Chris media Davis tomorrow rather than Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah,
but anyway,
whoever's there, they'll not give anything away, but they'll say, well, maybe it's time for a couple of changes. Well, so we'll know tomorrow whether he's going to bring
You're
in
playing
two or three
a Partick Thistle side, Derek, who have not won a game away from home this season, who I think have scored something like three goals all season away from home. They will play one up and they will get everybody else behind the ball.
Dare I say to you, that's exactly the same that I say about teams when they go to Ibrox. You know, they're looking for that lift to get their season going, and that's one that Partick Thistle will use, especially after the result yesterday. I would imagine Archibald will be into his players again. He'll be looking at that game again and looking to see how Hearts won that game. I know they're two completely different sides, Hearts and Thistle, the way they play, but he'll have a slight idea. If Celtic want to play the ball from the back, is it worthwhile closing them down and forcing Celtic in to play long balls?
Lots of difference of opinion coming in on Twitter. Stephen Robinson wants to see basically Craig Gordon put in the same bracket as Boyata, Simonovic and Lustig in terms of getting criticism. And just 2 minutes later, exact same subject, Sean Taggart says he's the best keeper in the country by a mile. So there we have it.
Well, you know,
difference of opinion.
He loses four. I agree with Derek. I don't think he's to blame for the Lafferty goal. Simonovic is to blame for Lafferty's goal. It's a lovely strike from Kyle Lafferty. Give the man some credit. He's also, Craig Gordon made a terrific save from Milinkovic, which could have made it even worse for Celtic. As I say, I think he's been a wonderful signing for Celtic, but he is going through a ropey period, and it's up to Brendan Rodgers, to the great relief of all the Celtic supporters. I don't pick the team.
What a relief that must be to the Celtic fans out there. And I'm always sort of wary when you hear managers and players come out and say that a defeat can be a good thing. There's probably a bit of truth in that.
I don't think there is, Gordon. I don't go along
but
with that.
Maybe not in the immediate aftermath, Hugh, but what about that notion then, in the cold light of day, when this, if and I use that word carefully, if it was becoming somehow a burden on Celtic, yeah, maybe just maybe they can hit that reset button. Is that the way you see it? Or,
well, they have to. They've got no other option. They've got two home games, Partick Thistle and Aberdeen, within the space of 4 days. The Celtic supporters will be looking for a convincing win against Partick Thistle, because it is top versus bottom, and they'll be looking for that convincing win, and then Aberdeen will be the big picture.
John's in Provan Mill. Hi, John.
Hi, Gordon, Hugh and Derek.
Hi, John.
Honest, guys, I cannot believe what I'm hearing tonight. Right? I've been over this and over and over. Celtic fan, by the way, Gordon. See, if I ask you the question, Hugh and Derek, you're sitting there and I said to you, by the way, there's a team up in Scotland somewhere, six or any team, they've won 69 games in the bounce, right? And that's it, they beat their area. You'd be like, oh, phenomenal. Would you think that defence in that team, I would think that team's defence is watertight. Listen, they lost one game, man, right? And if I ask you that question, there's no way you'd question yourself and say, you must say that's a great team, great defence. They lost a game, we'll go back again. You don't drop Boyata, you don't drop Simonovic, you don't drop Lustig. These guys are proven professionals, internationals, right? So what happens is, they go back again Wednesday, and we'll run over, I know for a fact, this time we'll be stronger again, come back for a defeat. I think maybe that it was a blip, as they said on the radio and on the TV, a blip, right? What I'm saying is, these guys don't become bad overnight, Hugh. They're still winning games. They won 69 games, or they went to 69 games without defeat. So How did he become bad overnight?
Again. I'll be fair to Hugh, because he's never been a fan of either of them. So you are consistent on that. But what about John's general point? Because if they were so bad, then common sense may tell you that Celtic couldn't possibly have won 69 or be unbeaten, in 69 domestic games.
But I would query the use of the word watertight. They're not watertight at all.
But listen.
I said to you at the start of the programme, the 69 will never be, in my opinion, will never be beaten. So I give full credit and respect to Celtic for that. However, let's take this season. This season, Celtic are only 2 points ahead of Aberdeen. They have conceded 13 points and we're not at the halfway stage yet. They only conceded 8 in the whole of last season. The defence is clearly not watertight. And why are Celtic tonight giving a medical to Marvin Kompea? Because Brendan Rodgers understands that central defence is a concern and he has to do something about it.
Beat the pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Hugh Evans and Derek Johnson both standing by, ready and willing to take you on at Beat the Pundit. If you fancy your chances, now is the time to dial 0141 951 1025 and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Evans and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Been a very busy show, as you can imagine. Celtic's unbeaten domestic run going yesterday in quite some style, certainly if you're a Hibs fan, and of course Rangers defeat at the weekend as well. Lots more to get through though. It's been a busy weekend across the board, not just for Celtic and Rangers, so lots more to discuss. But before we do that,
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Yes, coming up for 7:05, as always, the time we play Beat the Pundit. Tonight's contestant is William Burns. He's a Rangers fan from Drumchapel. Hi, William.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm alright.
Managed to cheer yourself up after the weekend result?
Aye.
Just?
It's terrible. Aye.
I'll tell you what, one way to get over it would be a wee Beat the Pundit victory. Heads, it's Hugh Keevan's. Tails, it's Derek Johnson. I've got the trusty Beat the Pundit coin in my hand. Let's see what it comes up with. And it is heads, it's Mr. Keevan. So let's give him some Clyde 2 in his ear hole so that he can't steal your answers. And we will line up the clock. William, it's 30 seconds, head to head. You can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
No problem.
Who scored a hat-trick for Aberdeen on Saturday?
Pass.
How many domestic games in a row were Celtic undefeated?
69.
St Johnson's win against Rangers was their first in the league at Ibrox since which decade?
Pass.
Which Scottish Championship team have 10 clean sheets in 11 games?
Inverness.
Which team have an 8-point lead at the top of Scottish League One?
Raith Rovers.
And which Scottish team are nicknamed the Gable Endies? Just guess one. Just guess one. Quick.
Albin.
Right, okay, no, let's bring Hugh Keevans back. Ready?
I am.
Ready and willing. Let's do it. Who scored a hat-trick for Aberdeen on Saturday?
Gary McKay-Steven.
How many domestic games in a row were Celtic undefeated?
69.
St Johnson's win against Rangers was their first in the league at Ibrox since which decade?
70s.
Which Scottish Championship team have 10 clean sheets in 11 games?
Inverness Cali Thistle.
Which team have an 8-point lead at the top of Scottish League One?
Ayr United.
Which Scottish team are nicknamed the Gable Endies?
Arbroath.
And who are currently 11th in the Ladbrokes Premiership? Quick. Quickly. Just say a team. Hurry up. Oh, I'm taking that away from you. Far too long. You couldn't have just guessed any team in the Ladbrokes Premiership.
I know, I was trying to think of
one. Okay. Let's go through the answers, shall we? William, how are you feeling about that?
Nah, I was on fire as usual.
Don't know, let's go through them. Who scored a hat-trick for Aberdeen? Gary McKay-Steven, 1-0 Keevans. How many domestic games in a row were Celtic undefeated? 69. You pulled one back, so it's 2-1 at the moment. St Johnson's win against Rangers, their first in the league at Ibrox since the 70s. So he stretches his lead to 3-1. I don't know if this was a guess, William, but it was right anyway. Inverness are the Scottish Championship team with 10 clean sheets in 11 games. So 4-2 at the moment. and that's where you ran out of luck. Ayr United have an 8-point lead at the top of League One, 5-2 to Hugh Keevans. Montrose are the Gable Endies, for anyone who's paying attention. And Ross County, Hugh Keevans, are 11th in the Ladbrokes Premiership. So it wasn't a good end to that run, Hugh, but you managed to get a 5-2 victory. Thanks for playing, William.
Thank you. Well done.
Thanks, William.
Good man. Yes, bye-bye. I see a good wee time to get the signed ball just before Christmas, Hugh, but you're... not
he denied him of a wee prezi there.
He's not shown any festive sympathy tonight. He's a man with a mission.
And I used to live in Drumchapel too. I could never go back now.
This is very true indeed. We'll get back to the phone lines in just a second or two. Let's hear from Celtic captain Scott Brown. He says, no problems, they deserve to lose their unbeaten run at Hearts, but the achievement should not be forgotten. He says they underperformed at Tynecastle in the 4-0 win for Hearts, and says he's been talking to our senior sports reporter Alison Conroy, saying it does hurt, but they'll bounce back.
It's been a great run, to be perfectly honest, the way we've played over the last 19 months. It's been great. It was disappointing, but Hearts played really well on the day and they deserved the victory.
I think the manner of the defeat is what surprised a lot of people the most.
Yeah, it's the way we played. It's not like us, to be perfectly honest. We couldn't get the ball down, but that's due to Hearts pressing high up the park and putting us under pressure. The pitch maybe not being as good as it should be, but it was fair play to Hearts. They came, they had a match plan and they done it really well.
Is fatigue an issue for the Celtic squad at the moment?
No, not at all. We've got a big enough squad. We can deal with this. We've got a great squad when you look at it. We've got a lot of people coming back from a couple of injuries as well. So we'll be looking to kind of kick on from now. It's fantastic every single game since the managers came in. It's been brilliant. It's been a breath of fresh air to probably every Celtic fan as well as every single player that's came in as well. And we've enjoyed it. And don't get me wrong, we're disappointed with yesterday's performance, but it's been a fantastic 69 games beforehand. It's one of the proudest achievements that I've probably done in my career. It's an honour to be captain of this club and to do it with 69 undefeated in 19 months, I think it is exceptional. Confidence is a little bit dented with the way we lost the goals, the way we performed, but we'll bounce back.
Surprised at all to hear Scott Brown finish off there saying confidence is dented a bit, or is that just completely natural?
I am surprised, if I'm honest, because Scott never tries to give off any kind of air of vulnerability whatsoever. You know, he perhaps could have left it at paying tribute to the side for 69 domestic games undefeated, for saying how proud he was to be captain of the club. So I'm a little bit surprised, but I repeat, Celtic, we've had a double header at home. Partick Thistle Wednesday, Aberdeen Saturday. If they are rebooting, to use Brendan Rodgers' word, then what a chance they have in front of over 100,000 people at two games at Celtic Park to show that, yes, it was a wonderful run, it has come to an end, a new one starts.
You know what, you can accept defeat. You know, if you're beaten 1-0 or 2-1 and it's one of these things, you go, well, we accept. But it was the manner and the way they were defeated. You know, Hearts did their homework. Craig Levein, I think there are a lot of people having a dig at him, but he got his tactics absolutely spot on. You know, so you've got to give him credit for that. And he gambled going toe-to-toe with Celtic, going man for man. And in the end, it's paid off big time for him.
Jerry is a Celtic fan in Erskine. What's on your mind, Jerry?
Hi, good evening, guys.
Hello.
Good evening to you. I actually haven't seen the Celtic game yet, but because I came off night shift this morning and I put it on and I fell asleep. I don't know if that's indicative of what was ahead. But what I was saying to Andy was I haven't been happy with Craig Gordon since the first season with Dyla. I think he's been pretty poor, and there's been lots and lots of high-profile mistakes, including those knees-up penalty kicks and free kicks on the edge of the box kind of thing. Now, I've got three goalkeepers that I think are gettable for Celtic. Okay, they might only have two games in the Europa League, but we're talking about from next season. They're all younger. Darren Randolph is one. I'm sure he would swap Middlesbrough. He's already been up here with Motherwell. And he had quite a run with the West Ham team last season. I think Adrien kept him out for some of it. The second one is Tim Krul, who's a Dutch keeper, played in the World Cup the last time.
He was at Newcastle, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was at Newcastle when he went back. Did his knee in, did his cruciate, and he went to Holland and he came back. Now, he's actually not played for Brighton yet. He's number two to the boy, the Australian boy, or New Zealand, I think he is, the keeper at Brighton. So he's languishing in a fairly low-profile team. I would think he would perhaps You know, they've all, these guys have all made their money, so they could come up and take 15 or 20,000 off of Celtic and get some European action. And the third one is, I would bring David Marshall back, ex-Celtic keeper. He's actually number two to the ex-Rangers keeper, McGregor, at Hull. So surely a reserve keeper in Hull, he would jump at the chance. And all three of them, in fact, Krull is actually 29. The other two are a couple of years younger than Gordon. I would take any one of those three to bring them back in.
I have to say, I think you're unfair on Craig Gordon. You know, I've heard that Celtic supporters tonight say, how can you criticise Celtic 69 games? Craig Gordon was part of that as well. So he can't be that bad a goalkeeper. And I think also if you reflect on the 69 games, you'll find that Craig Gordon played well in more games than he played badly. So I think you're very unfair. And to line up three people to replace him, I would also suggest that it's David Marshall, Tim Krul or Darren Randolph, players don't think along those lines. Well, I'll just go up to Scotland and I'll take a big drop in wages because I'll get to play in the Europa League. That's not how they think. And I think you're...
Listen, this is a complete hypothetical anyway, but yeah, I'm not sure. It wouldn't necessarily be a drop in wages for Darren Randolph in the Championship or David Marshall in the Championship. But anyway, it's a big hypothetical.
Some pretty fancy money gets paid down south. But my basic reply to Jerry is, I think that's very unfair in Craig Gordon to absolutely dismiss everything that he has done for Celtic and to suggest that he had no part to play in the 69.
What he's done, I mean, he has been very good. He's played a lot of games, but he's been far, far too many mistakes, and he looked inadequate during not only the six games last year, but the six games here. Now, I also think that Celtic will make quite a few changes. The record's now gone for the Wednesday night game with Thistle. I think we will see Hayes, Ayer, and probably De Vries, because he'll change quite a few, so it'll take the spotlight off of, is it just him scapegoating Gordon? And you'll keep some of them fresh for the Aberdeen game. I think there'll be four minimum changes on Wednesday night, definitely.
What's more, Hugh, is we know that Craig Gordon clearly wasn't fancied initially, and that's why Brendan Rodgers signed Doris De Vries. Uh-huh. But since he came back into the team, Craig Gordon, Brendan Rodgers on a number of occasions has waxed lyrical about him. I know that some fans may be a bit frustrated with yesterday and some other performances, but there's nothing to suggest that Brendan Rodgers is thinking about changing his goalkeeping situation.
You know, as I've said, he has been a terrific signing for Celtic. He has been tremendous for Celtic during the 69 game run. He's had off moments. He's a goalkeeper. Yeah. Who doesn't have off moments?
All goalkeepers make mistakes. Yeah. You know, and the one thing you can get, a defender makes a mistake and it's not highlighted because a goal's not scored. A striker can have a shot and miss a sitter, and you know, he gets a wee bit of stick for that. So goalkeepers are the same. They make one mistake, the ball's in the back of the net. And I think for 95% of the time he's been in goal over these 70 games, he's been terrific.
Yeah.
Yes, he's lost daft goals like all goalkeepers do, but I think when you look at him and you analyse what he's done, yes, you can pick out, oh, you lost a goal there and lost a goal there, but what about the saves he's been having as well? You miss that out.
Well, if you're looking for the hard numbers, hopefully Christopher Park has counted properly. He says, of the 69 games unbeaten, if I've counted correctly, 37 of those games were with a clean sheet. Yes, Boyata, Simunovic and Gordon can be dreadful at times, but as a defence overall, they ain't that bad. So 37 clean sheets, Christopher's adding that to the perspective here.
Let's confine ourselves to Jerry and Jerry's remarks. He's lined up three potential successors. I don't think Celtic will buy a goalkeeper in the January window. I think Brendan Rodgers will be happy with Craig Gordon and Doris De Vries. But there is no question that Craig Gordon is wobbly at the moment.
Scotty G's on Twitter. He's a Celtic and a West Ham fan. He says, I'm better than Randolph and I can't walk the length of myself after recent foot surgery. So there we are. Jerry might be a fan, but Scotty is not. I was wondering if we were going to hear from some happy jambos this evening. Kenny's in Airdrie. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, evening, guys.
Hi, Kenny.
Kenny sounds like he's got a bit of a spring in his step this evening, doesn't he, gentlemen?
Yes, and are you fully entitled to that?
I'm after all your abuse, you. No, hold on, my cigar just went out. Listen, I'm thinking that Hugh's actually become a Hearts mascot, because we were saying about Harry Kane the other day, and the first scorer was young Harry.
Yeah, that's right. Well, happy Harry, 16, remarkable performance from him. As I said to an earlier caller, if Hearts celebrated lavishly after yesterday's game, they were fully entitled to do so because they've taken pelters on and off the park. The whole fiasco surrounding the stand and safety certificates and the run of results and the sacking of Ian Cathro, this, that, the other. And yesterday, Kenny, I'm sure you'll agree, Christmas came a week early.
Oh, definitely, Hugh.
Derek, as someone who might know a bit more about this than Hugh and I, what does it feel like if you're 16 years old and you get a goal of such significance?
It's fantastic, and I'm shooting. But he's played before, isn't he? I mean, it wasn't his.
He's been playing quite regularly.
So, but to score, you know, against Celtic in the vital first goal, I mean, he could even go home and have a couple of drinks with his pals because he's only 16.
Well, he couldn't get the man of the match champagne. Christoph Berra had
absolutely,
to pick it up.
But no, but it's a wonderful feeling, and he will enjoy himself.
What occurred to me last night? They're now starting to score goals, and I've got grandkids who are older than Harry Cochran,
born in 2001.
I've got two grandkids who are older.
That makes us feel old, Hugh, definitely.
Exactly.
But what overall, Kenny, I mean, I'm sure you are an optimistic football fan, like many are, but no one saw that coming, did they? Not only a Hearts team who haven't had too many wins recently up against Celtic, but when you look at the list of absentees, Jamie Walker, John Souter, Jum in the middle of the park as well, I mean, it must have just absolutely blown any of your expectations away.
Oh, Gordon, as you said, Christmas came a week early. I kind of thought I'd wake up with a sore throat this morning, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I kind of thought it was going to be the other way. We'll get humped again, but it didn't happen.
Do you know what's got to happen now, Kenny? It's got to be the pivotal moment for Hearts because, as I say, they've taken pelters. On December 27, you're playing another team from Edinburgh who have had the bragging rights, let's be honest, in the city of Edinburgh. They've had the bragging rights for a while now. It'd be very interesting to see the knock-on effect of that result yesterday where Hearts are concerned.
And for Hibs as well, Hugh. What a game that's going to be, yeah.
Yeah. What about Craig?
You know, good for Scottish football, though, guys.
What about Craig Levein as well, Hugh? A guy who has become famous for some tactical mishaps, shall we say, in time in Scotland. He's also had a lot of criticism up here because of this director of football role and the way that panned out, Ian Cathro situation, and then Craig Levein back to the dugout. Tactically, you can have absolutely no complaints. He got it completely spot on yesterday. Yeah. He himself says it was, you know, ranks right up there with his managerial achievements
as
well.
He reached the low point when he played Hamilton Accies at Tynecastle. Craig ended up in the stand. Austin McPhee ended up in the stand after dancing the military two-step with Darian McKinnon in the touchline. So, you know, and they were very, very lucky to get a point out of that game. Hamilton Accies should have beaten them at Tynecastle. So that was a low point.
And again, we're listening to Hearts fans, certainly not Kenny, but, you know, in the first six or seven games of the season, he was getting stick, Craig Levein.
Yeah.
He should stick to his day job and everything else. Well, he's come good today. I mean, the Hearts in the last two or three games have looked a lot better than they were earlier on in the season. They're now starting to get results, which is the main thing for them. But you're right. Come the 27th of December, when the play Hibs, what a game that's going to be now.
I look forward to getting the bottle of elderberry wine and sitting by the screen.
I said earlier that you can't put too much of a positive spin on a defeat, so I'm certainly not going to put a negative spin on a victory. Having said that, Hugh Keevan's Hearts have just raised the bar quite something, haven't they, for the next few games?
It has to be the watershed moment for them, Gordon. You know, if you don't feel good about yourselves having thumped Celtic 4-0, then you never will feel good about yourself. So in Hearts' fixture at the weekend, that they have to go on from that Celtic result, and then Kenny and the maroon half of Edinburgh will await the arrival of Hibs at Easter Road on the 27th, and what a game that
will
be.
But first of all, they've got St Johnstone away. You know, St Johnstone after what they did to Rangers on Saturday. So what a good game that's going to be the weekend as well.
Neil Lennon was a very, very frustrated man, as you can imagine, after the game at the weekend. The early kickoff on Saturday, we'll hear from him and Derek McInnes, and we'll get these to a full-time teaser coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnston are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I've got a full-time teaser for the guys, as always at this time of the evening, and I know lots of you like to play along at home as well, so listen up. It's sent in by John Anderson. Thank you to John.
Hi, Joe John.
John Anderson, was that the referee in Gladiators?
Yes.
It was, wasn't
well
it?
Well done, well done.
There we are. Hugh Keevans, you will go on my first whistle. Okay. Only eight players have won the World Cup, European Cup and Ballon d'Or. Can you name them? So only eight players have won the World Cup, the European Cup / Champions League and the Ballon d'Or. All the won all of these in their career. Can you name them? Eight players.
Well, it must be Messi and Ronaldo.
Well, they must
surely.
Be pretty. Has Ronaldo ever won the World
no,
Cup?
Portugal.
Has Messi ever won the World Cup? But obviously, they're going to have to be players of quite some standing in the game to have managed that.
Oh, the Frenchman.
Which one?
Platini.
Platini must. No.
The other one, maybe? Had a wee bald patch in his head.
Oh, Zidane.
There we are. Give you one to get you off and running. I can't believe that everything Zinedine Zidane achieved in my clue was that he had a bald patch in his head. Anyway, Zinedine Zidane is one of the eight, so you have seven more to go.
This will be a long night.
Let's speak to Grant in Rutherglen. Hi, Grant.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Grant.
What's your point tonight, Grant?
First time caller, by the way, just like to see in a cracking show.
Good to have you. What made you phone tonight, then?
It was just about really the Hearts game, Hearts Celtic game. I was really impressed with Hearts' level performance right from the start of the game, really. First 10 minutes, I thought they just came out the traps, really went at Celtic. And I was just wondering what the guy's opinion was on sort of level of consistency in Scottish football. A lot of teams seem to be able to do that the odd game, but then struggle the next.
We had a someone tweeted the programme, Grant, on Saturday night and had a wonderful expression which covers Scottish football at the moment, or certainly covers the
last
Scottish Premiership.
Yeah.
He said it was an epidemic of randomness. and that's exactly what it is. You know, you've got a Hibs side who were a goal line clearance away from ending Celtic's record run, who then get thumped by Aberdeen. You've got
who lost twice to Rangers,
to St Johnstone, who then we move on to Sunday. You've got a Hearts side who were the luckiest team in the world to get a point against Hamilton Accies at Tynecastle, and not only end Celtic's record, but they thumped them into the bargain. So in one sense, it's wonderful. It's great. The unpredictability of it all is great. Or when you put your sensible head on, you think, dear me, there's no such thing as consistency up here.
It's just that seems to be the difference between Celtic and the rest, just that they've got that level of consistency.
We've
seen it even with Rangers recently, with sort of struggling at home and then going away and getting good results at Aberdeen, and obviously against Hibs as well, even though they never played well.
But even Celtic this season, and you know, we all shout at once now, but Celtic dropped 8 points in the whole of last season. They've dropped 13 so far, and we're not at the halfway stage in this season. So even they can't claim the same level of consistency.
And you look at the Ross County game, which was a hard game for them. It took something special to win the game.
Lee,
you know,
Griffiths, free kick.
Man loves a free kick. Yeah. So yeah, you're absolutely right. It's all about consistency. You win this league with consistency, that's for sure.
But this is nothing new in this division. You know, we've had it for years where the so-called smaller teams, they raise their game against the so-called bigger teams, usually Celtic and Rangers in years gone by. Is that just the way that it's always going to have to be? Because you look at Hearts yesterday, they just seemed, and maybe I'm wrong, but they just seemed to run harder and fight tougher.
And just
really, really bust a gut. It was so evident.
Do you know who I'm thinking of now? Derek McInnes. Because he's sitting there in Aberdeen, having turned down the chance to become Rangers manager, and he's thinking 2 points behind Celtic, going to Celtic Park next Saturday. Haven't laid a glove in Celtic since Brendan Rodgers became Celtic manager. And he knows that if he goes to Celtic Park and gets a result there, everyone stands back and goes, oh, wait a minute. So it's a big, big weekend for Derek McInnes coming up, because we can take all these arguments about consistency and laugh at the unpredictability of it all. Aberdeen in Derek McInnes's subconscious, he knows that if he gets a result for Aberdeen at Celtic Park on Saturday, everyone stands back and thinks, oh, what next?
And also, in fairness to Celtic, Derek, if you think back to the game at Pittodrie we had these exact same conversations. People were looking at that game at Pittodrie and going, oh, you know, I'm not quite convinced Celtic are the same. Yeah. And it's going to be tough going up there.
And Celtic absolutely battered them.
So, again...
Yeah, you just don't know. And that's the great thing about our game. You just don't know. I think for too long, Celtic have had it their own way, simply because they've been by far the best team. But clubs are starting to like Hearts. You know, maybe now and again, if the opposition don't play well, if Celtic don't play well, and you're on your game, and you get that wee bit of luck on the day as well, then there's a chance you can do something. And I think that's why Celtic have got to be on their toes all the time. Rangers are the same. They won on Saturday. They're 2 points behind Celtic as well. Now, if that doesn't get your juices flowing as a Rangers player, going into that game almost a full house, then nothing will. But they just couldn't get up for the game. And that's the unpredictability of this game in this country.
Well, we did say that the real winners from the weekend were Aberdeen. That obviously a really emphatic win, wasn't it, over Hibs 4-1 at Pittodrie. Let's hear from Neil Lennon after that one.
You have to earn the right to play. Wherever you go, you can't just turn up and go, yeah, it's going to be a nice game of football today. We started off brightly, but our decision making was poor. We get a free kick early, and McGinn lets Barker take it when we had practiced on outswingers. I talked about outswingers. Our decision making was all wrong. We lacked any sort of quality. We lacked any sort of drive. But I'll suck it up. I'll take that. And there's still a long way to go in the season regarding second, third, and fourth place. But it's a blow.
It's the most frustrating thing, Neil. You and your coaching staff can work hard preparing the players all week. Once they cross that white line, it's up to them, isn't it?
Of course, yeah. You can adjust. We didn't look great at 4-3-3. We adjusted the diamond. But you can talk about tactics and formations all day long. You got to want it. Yeah. You got to have to say, right, we haven't started the game well. I need to put a challenge in. I need to win some, you know, 50-50s. Aberdeen walked right through us today, and that is mental. That's not physical, that is mental. They wanted it more. We have played against Celtic and Rangers. There was no sign of that in any of those two games. You know, we looked a stronger team last half hour against Celtic. We played great on Wednesday night. Today, we just didn't turn up. We just did not turn up.
You know what, Hugh, just listening to that again, the one phrase that he used sums it all up. They wanted it more.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to get. They wanted it more. If you look at the St Johnstone players, they wanted that result more. Hearts wanted that more than Celtic did.
Yeah.
That is one big sentence, that.
Well, Hibs Ross County on Saturday. Ross County simply not firing on all cylinders at all. Oney Corr will know that for himself. I imagine there'll be players coming in there in the January transfer window. Hibs, Neil used the expression there, I'll suck it up. Well, he'll suck it up for one weekend, not two in a row. So I would look for a real committed Hibs looking for the confidence booster before the game against Hearts.
And it was all about Gary McKay-Steven, wasn't it? A hat-trick for Aberdeen, as you can imagine. A very, very happy Derek McInnes.
But we're very good for start to a minute ago. Thought we were really tenacious. We were pressing, we defended with real concentration and aggression. I thought we were bright in possession of the ball, we carried a threat and we got goals at a good time. I thought we were very bright. I thought there was a lot of good players on show in both teams, but I thought we had the better performers individually. I thought we were very strong performers today, and as a team I thought we were excellent. And you know, the only little blip was no get my third clean sheet in a row, and I thought we deserved to. You know, I thought it was an unfortunate deflection, and we should look after the ball better in the halfway line. But I think and Considine's goal should stand, it's onside, so there's a mistake there. But I think by and large from us, I'm very pleased with the level of performance. You know, I thought my midfield three, Christie, Shinney and McLean, were outstanding, because they're up against good players in there, and I thought we were very strong in there. That gave us a good platform to turn the ball over and play from there, and I thought our front play was bright. And no, we scored four, but we threatened to score a lot more. And obviously, Gary will be the main focal point for the get his hat trick, and rightly so, because his finishes were excellent, and we turned the ball over, and he's capable of that quickness of movement and getting to go quickly. But I thought he was a strong performer and part of a very strong Aberdeen performance.
It's a funny thing, after his hat-trick, Gary McKay-Steven going to Celtic Park next weekend I remember seeing his last game for Celtic, St Mirren, Scottish Cup, first half, honestly. And Brendan Rodgers tried to get him out of it at half time or at full time. He was subbed at half time. And Brendan said after the game, you know, he could have played for 10 hours and not scored today. Yeah. And now he comes back to Celtic Park as arguably one of the reasons why Aberdeen think they might get something out of that game. But it won't be Christy Shinnie-McLean in midfield this time, because Christy won't be allowed to play against Celtic. Anyway, it's building up. It's going to be a fantastic game on Saturday.
I think it was Aberdeen's best performance of the season, you know, against a really good side, a side that's been on form, a side that, as Neil said, you know, the best, second best footballing side. They never get a chance to play on Saturday because Aberdeen were in and about them. Okay, they can argue about the daft goals that Hibs lost, but Aberdeen were there. They were in their faces all the time. It could have been a lot more than four goals that they scored. So they're on a high, certainly. They've got a midweek where there's no games. Celtic are playing against Partick Thistle. I think Aberdeen will be fairly confident actually coming to Celtic Park next weekend.
How are you getting on with this teaser?
This might be your low point.
Yes.
Eight players have won the World Cup, the European Cup, Champions League, and the Ballon d'Or.
I'll throw
Can
one
you
at
name
you.
Them? We've already got Zinedine Zidane.
What about Beckenbauer?
Yes, Franz Beckenbauer. Well done. So two out of eight.
What about, like, Xavi?
No.
No. Or his sidekick?
No.
No.
Never won the Ballon d'Or. You've got to remember that anyone who's played directly in the same era as Messi and Ronaldo have struggled in terms
Müller,
of the Ballon d'Or.
No.
Yes. Done, DJ. So we've got Gerd Müller, Franz Beckenbauer, and Zinedine Zidane.
Just think of the ones that won it
thus far.
Cruyff, no.
No, we'll get back to it. Robert is a St Mirren fan from Kilwinning. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Fano. How you doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
Not bad, not bad.
Good stuff.
I mean, I was at the game on Saturday in a very cold Paisley. And just listening to Neil Lennon there when he says that you want to win games, I feel that's the way St Mirren are at the moment. They are. Admittedly, their away form is sometimes a little bit ropey. But given where they were a year ago to where they are now, it's night and day. And I genuinely think we could be contenders for that title, although it will be really, really tight as the season goes on. It's just to get your thoughts on that.
It's beginning to look like a two-horse race now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yourselves and Dundee
United.
They're chopping
and changing.
You know, therefore, in a two-horse race, you've got a 50-50 chance.
If you look at it at the moment, it's 2 points between St Mirren and Dundee United. Dundee United played a game less because theirs was off at the weekend. And you have
they're
to, you
know, sound 7 points behind. Yeah. You know, they've got, they're in with a chance. What they're doing this year, St Mirren, they've got a bit of consistency about them. I know they're playing some good stuff. You know, they're scoring goals. They're beating the big clubs. And they're looking really good at this moment in time. But
the frustrating thing, Derek, will be those, the odd ones, the wobblies, you know, Dumbarton at home, things like that. Yeah. That's
well, that happens. You know, that happens. Against the bigger sides, they're certainly up for it. I think they've got a better squad of players and they've got a bit of consistency about them. So have Dundee United. I think you're right. I think it could be a one push between the two of them. The next game against each other could be massive.
Oh. Robert, are you and your fellow St Mirren fans dreading the January window because you fear that it may see some significant exits, or are you welcoming the chance to maybe see some players coming in, or maybe both?
Probably a bit of both. I mean, the likes are, you know, if the rumours are true about Lewis Morgan with Celtic interest, I mean, I can understand why. But the thing is, if he moves in January, he's only going to be a squad player. You know, whereas at Simone, he's got the chance to be part of something special. And I'll admit, he'll move in the summer, but between January and then, you know, he could be part of that. If you look at Johnny Hayes when he moved from Aberdeen for $1.3 million, you know, he's on the bench more than he's on the field. So, and I can understand players wanting to move onwards and upwards, but...
Yeah.
I think
think what would happen, and I think St Mirren would want it as well. I mean, if it was Celtic, it might be teams from down south. It could be anybody. What they will say is, yes, you can have them, but loan them back to us to the end of the season and you can have them, you know, for the summer. Yeah. And I think that would be great all round for St Mirren. And for the player himself too, I think.
Definitely, Derek. But also I was about to say, you can see how good the Championship's going to be at the moment when likes of BT are showing the Dundee United game on Friday night. You know, that's where the interest is in the moment. And it's really, from my point of view, I mean, it's really superb. As admittedly, though, it would be great if it was a bit warmer up there.
Hugh, that is the thing. Both teams come into this, certainly pre-season, with very different levels of expectation. I mean, St Mirren fans fancied their chances of certainly improving on last season and climbing the league a bit more. But you just get the impression from Dundee United fans, you know, anything short of winning that title is going to be unacceptable. So that's where that battle between the two is going to be interesting as the weeks and months tick by.
Stephen Thompson, the Dundee United chairman, will be saying to himself, I can't have them in the lower leagues for another year. So it's pretty vital that Dundee United get up. But at the same time, football is about meritocracy. If St Mirren deserve to go up, they'll go up.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, they've got a difficult one at the weekend. They're away down at Queen of the South, who have had a wee bit of form. So that's going to be a difficult one.
Yeah, he's Robert, still there, Robert. Still are you with us?
I'm still here, yeah.
Yeah, Queen of the South next Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Queen of the South, Livingston, you know, any of them, you know, when we're away.
They're good size, yeah. They're difficult games.
You know, and I think that's what makes it so interesting, because sometimes when I'm at the games, I'm really thinking, you know, are we going to win or are we going to see the other team? Because it's so tight at times. Mm-hmm. But then a little bit of magic appears. And I mean, the Saturday there, I thought we were lucky, but, you know, we managed to get the 1-0. And it is a bit consistency, especially at home. Yeah.
That's a good sign, Robert. You've heard a lot of people say it. That's the good sign when you don't play well and you win. That is a really good sign.
It is indeed. Now, we had a bit of a rammy on our hands at the Super Seal Stadium, didn't we, at the weekend. We're going to hear from Martin Canning, but before we do that, some vitally important information I want to give you. Mission
Christmas with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington, caring about children in Glasgow and the West. Clyde One.
Hugh Keevans, in case you didn't know, this is your 1 week countdown. Christmas Day, 1 week today. Can you believe that? It has crept up upon us. And as always, at this time of the year, we are trying our hardest to make a difference. We all know, us in the studio, most of us out there at home as well, that Christmas should be a time for families and celebration. But unfortunately, for thousands of children right here on our doorstep, it is just another day. What we want to do is try our best to make Christmas Day a bit different for these children. By different, I don't mean anything out of the ordinary to you and I mean money in the meter, maybe a hot meal, a small gift, just something that will make a bit of difference this Christmas. You can help us by supporting Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas this year with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms in Hillington. To donate £5, you text the word Clyde to 70808. That's Clyde to 70808, and that money could make all the difference to children right here on our doorstep. We'll talk about that rammy at the Super Seal Stadium after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here. Lots of you are having a go at this full-time teaser on Twitter. Let me just give it a nod. I can't give it away because you guys are obviously going through it. Inside the SPFL, I can see tweeting loads coming through. Mr. Warnock, who else is on there as well? Lots of you. At Larson 39, Pauline Tierney, Drake Munhausen, Regan Stevenson, lots of people taking part. I like this. Have you got for me? We're looking for the 8 players, remember, who've won the World Cup, the Ballon d'Or and the Champions League / European Cup.
Sir Bobby Charlton.
Yes.
Good shout. Well done.
So that means you've got four.
Right,
so
I've got good names here.
Okay.
I'll go through it.
They're only good if they're in the
Platini.
The list. No.
No. Okay. Rossi. Paolo Rossi.
Yes. I'm impressed with that. Good shout, Paolo Rossi.
What about Jean-Pierre Papin?
No.
Matthias, Luther Matthias.
No.
Karl-Heinz Rummenigge.
I'll give you a clue. There are no more Frenchmen and no more Germans in this list.
Baggio,
okay?
Italian.
No.
No, not Rummenigge either.
So you've got 5-3 to go. As always on a Monday night, we like to look back on the weekend's action, as much of it as possible. Sometimes certain things happen which sort of take over, and that's the beauty of this show. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, but let's touch on some of the other games, and in particular Hamilton Accies, Hugh, because when we had the match report from Mark Guidi on Saturday, he was very excited. He was very loud in telling us that there was lots of drama. Big rammy at the end, lots of people involved, reports of referees being manhandled and all the rest of it. Let's hear from Martin Canning, because he described it as handbags. Yep. I suspect, having seen it on television, you two are going to disagree. But in fairness to Martin Canning, this was at full time. I don't know if he'd seen it back and so on. But he says that could have been avoided if Ross County's Kenny van der Veg hadn't pushed Hamilton's Ioannis Skondras in the first place. So it was the Accies man that was sent off in the closing stages of the 3-2 win. And here's what his manager made of it at full time.
Like handbags again, it's so many things in football when two players square up. It seems to be that everybody else feels the need to get involved with both teams and protect their own player, and that's just part of
as part of the game. It shouldn't be part of the game, but it is, and it's one of those things that's happened now, and we just may move on.
I spoke to Skondras about what happened. Did it just seem to be?
I spoke to him, I think throughout the course of the game the guy was giving him a bit of stick. And they were giving each other a bit back and forth, and then obviously towards the end of the game they came together. And then I think Van der Breg comes to nowhere. I don't even think it's Van der Breg that Skondras is kind of, I think the fill's done and Skondras and somebody else put together, and Van der Breg kind of comes to nowhere and just pushes Skondras out the road, and I think he's took exception to it. And anybody else gets piled in for the end, it just becomes a mess.
Name Van der Weg was lucky to stay in the pitch.
I think so, because I don't think there was going to be any confrontation if he hadn't got involved. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he gets involved. I think if he keeps himself out there, Yanis and the other guy, I think, are just going to part ways and go different ways, and it's going to be all sorted. Van der Weg comes in and literally boldly shoves Yanis, aggressively shoves Yanis out the road, and that's what gets Yanis's back up.
Again, Hugh, I'm willing to give Martin Canning the benefit of the doubt, because that was right after the game. He maybe didn't get a clear view of it,
yeah,
but it was more than handbags.
Well, I think Martin would have described the thrill in Manila as handbags if that's how he views these things. But Skondras is way out of order. And, you know, we laugh at these things, but... Well, this is professional football.
The referee didn't laugh at it, Hugh, because no. He was the man that, not, I'm not going to say manhandle, that's the wrong thing, but when you touch a referee with your, you touch a referee, yeah, you're in bother. You're in bother.
As I say, there's a bit of machismo comes into all of this whenever it happens in Scottish football, but it's professional football and you can't have that sort of thing. Yeah. And I think Skondras...
We'll put it this way, if it had been a higher profile fixture...
Yeah.
We would have heard lot
but,
more about it.
But Martin Cannon's spot on. I thought there was nothing in it until the push, and then everybody jumped in. If he didn't do that, then it wouldn't have been anything. It would have been a wee bit of words here and there and then finish. But when you've got 10, 14 players involved, then the referee and his assistants have got a big, big job to do.
When Ali McCoist and Neil Lennon danced the tango at Celtic Park, we ended up in the Scottish Parliament within a matter of hours. So it was wrong. It was bad for the profile of the game, and I'm quite sure that Skondras will receive a punishment commensurate with what happened.
And again, I like to acknowledge all the fixtures if we can, but it's not always easy, Hugh. Sum up where we are in some of the other fixtures. You look at Motherwell, the team with the worst form in the league. Kilmarnock, on the other hand, picking up the points, and another miserable day if you're a Partick Thistle fan.
Yeah, Partick Thistle are the big concern, because there's just not a lot happening for them, and they're in danger of becoming isolated, and they're at Celtic Park on Wednesday, and if ever Celtic were in a vengeful mood, it would be on Wednesday, because that's the one that gives you the chance to get Tynecastle out of the system before the Aberdeen game. So I fear for Partick Thistle, and for Kilmarnock, the revival continues under Steve Clark, and I very much look forward to that Saturday lunchtime kickoff, Kilmarnock Rangers.
John is in Bells Hill. What have you got for us, John?
Yeah, hi, Hugh, Derek.
Hello,
and Gordon.
Hi, John.
This isn't a negative reaction to yesterday's score, but I really do believe that Celtic should possibly, maybe not in January, but I certainly think they should really be looking for a new goalkeeper come the summer. I also would like to suggest as well, if Celtic can, the centre half, and I know the guy for the German guy's coming in.
Compare.
He's going to be coming in January there. But I would like also, if Celtic could get anything for Simonovic as well. And the reason for that is because you don't get a full season out of him. He's always injured. And I would also like to just to throw into the mix, and I'm probably... nobody the flavour of the month for my fellow Celtic fans, but if anybody had to come in for Dembele, with the reports of the money that's been touted for him, I would maybe just, you know, like your 20, your £25 million, I would maybe just say, let him go also. My second point that I would like to make, I know we've not got much time, but the second point I would like to make is about two of our midfield players. Now I'm a season ticket holder, and I've been to all the games, and I've been looking at these guys, and for me, Armstrong, at the beginning of the season, I thought maybe it was all the contract talks and whatever that was holding him back. He seemed to have upped the ante a wee bit, but for his last few games, I think he's been pretty well shocking. And for Scott Sinclair, he's been posted missing for me, and I know he scored, I think it's 14 goals this season already, but for me, I think he's been posted missing. Certainly in the Champions League games.
Okay, John, I'm very keen to get your point answered, John, because you make some good ones. So let me pass them to you.
Very quickly, in summary, it might be difficult to offload Simunovic because he's already failed a medical when Celtic were going to sell him. But what will be with regard to him. With regard to Dembele, reports at the weekend that Brighton were contemplating an £18 million move for Dembele. I think Celtic would take that. I honestly think they would, because there have been high profile examples in the past of Celtic not selling when a player's stock was at its highest.
What was your cheeky phrase I saw on Twitter about Dembele?
Depreciating faster than a Skoda with a faulty gearbox.
Okay. From a man who doesn't drive, by the way. But anyway, yeah.
But I've sat in a few cars.
More than a few, that's for sure.
But there have been high profile examples of Celtic having players who, if they had sold when the time was right, they would have made big money. And they waited. They waited too long, and those players went for much smaller money. I think if Celtic got a fantastic offer, and £18 million to £20 million for me, for someone you bought for £400,000, would be a fantastic offer. I think if that happened in January, Celtic would sell.
Thanks to John and Bells Hill. We're looking for eight players who've won the World Cup, the European Cup and the Ballon d'Or. We've got Bobby Charlton, Gerd Müller, Franz Beckenbauer, Paolo Rossi and Zinedine Zidane. You've got three to get, and not long to get them.
Ronaldo. Not the Portuguese one, the Brazilian.
No. Let's just say you're in the right neck of the woods, though. What about his countrymen?
Ronaldinho.
Yes, Ronaldinho is one. So you've got two more. Similar-ish era as well. So don't worry about going too far back. I mean, listen, not exactly the same.
Give us a country. Give us the countries then.
They're both Brazilian.
Oh, Brazilian.
Mm.
Who else there came over to Europe?
So this guy was particularly formidable in a team which he played against Celtic in the Champions League for an Italian team. He's recently gone and finished his career in Orlando, I believe.
Oh,
Kaká.
Yes, Kaká. And one more. So another Brazilian. He played for AC Milan also for a period, but most of his European football was played for Barcelona around the end of the 90s, early 2000s. Sounds kind of like Ronaldo. That's the best clue I can give you.
Rivaldo,
of course, left footer.
You two crack me up, honestly. Well, we got there in the end, thanks to everyone else.
Well done again, Hugh. Well done, sir. Well done.
As well on Twitter. Thanks to Hugh Evans and Derek Johnson for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I hope you appreciate it. It was a busy show, so thank you to everyone who tried to get through and to the ones who got through as well. I'll be back Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. Gordon DL and Roger Hanna.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.